Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Exciting first day. Go all the way back to Genesis. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Let's read together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separate the waters which was below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit, trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them, on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them, and after their kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with the swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind," and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for you," and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis is, we get the word, it actually comes from the Latin, actually coming from the Greek, which is from the Septuagint, and it just means it's the word origins or beginnings, or maybe better translated, source. And so this is where it comes from. The Hebrew word is translated in the beginning, which is the first phrase in the Bible. This this book is part of what they call the Pentateuch, and there's five books in that. You know, you get the word pentathlon, pentagon, and so it literally means five scrolls. So amongst these five scrolls, four of them actually deal with the life and ministry of Moses, and that's basically the bulk of it. But Genesis comes by way of Moses, and most likely, you know, obviously the other four would have very easily come from his just living in his life, basically, during this time of moving from Egypt to the Promised Land. But most likely, I mean, not most likely, almost absolutely, if you remember throughout bits of the passages in the Pentateuch, you find that Moses goes off and has this intimate relationship with God that is just really unheard of. In fact, if you remember going all the way back to Numbers 11 and 12, God very clearly says that Moses is his friend. And to him, he speaks face to face. With everyone else, they get dark sayings, dreams, visions, and whatnot. And most likely, it was those times that God had given him revelation about the beginning of the origins of the world. And so we find that a very special connection that Moses had. And so probably out of anyone on the face of the earth, he's probably the only one that could have actually written Genesis. And this is a common understanding. I don't think there's anyone that debates that Moses is the author of the book of Genesis. Now, during this time, there's obviously so much information and so much content, even in every chapter. And so I'm not going to exhaust all of our time, because then you'll be basically getting an hour devotion every morning. And I know you have to go to work, okay? And so, and I don't really have the bandwidth to do an hour. Well, actually, I might, but I don't want to. In any case, and so we want to keep it kind of short a little bit. And remember, it's a devotional time, and so there's going to be some teaching, but a lot of it is more a devotional aspect. So I'm going to go through some of the teaching first, and then I'm going to go into the devotional part of it. So if you notice something as it goes on here, that he divides this up into 6 days, and then tomorrow we'll get into the seventh day a bit. And he divides this up, and he creates the earth. One of the aspects and the things that I really enjoyed in this, that and this is kind of a very common theme with how God works and operates. God is not into a temporary kind of fix. God wants multi-generational things. He wants things to continue on and on and on. And this is displayed here even in creation. And so even in the beginning here in verse 11, he said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, and with seed in them on the earth." And it was so. And so all these things happen. And so you'll notice that even with the vegetation, with livestock, and eventually with human beings, God puts inside of every single thing that he makes the ability to recreate, which is really amazing if you think about it. God is not just into this one-time creation. When God creates, he creates it that the creation will create itself over and over and over and over again. It's, you know, this whole, it's one thing if you think about it. It's one thing to create something, but it's a whole nother thing to create something that's going to create something. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's really amazing. But this goes to show all the way from the beginning, really God's mission, his heart, and the whole thing, that whenever he creates something, he expects it to last, not just one generation, but actually to last forever, generation after generation after generation after generation. He creates fruit. I mean, just, you know, seemingly, I mean, not meaningless things. They're very good things. I enjoyed a lot of fruit yesterday. I ate the ones I liked the best. I mean, I was devouring fruit yesterday because it's actually good before the fast too. And so doing this thing, and it's not a meaningless thing, but create something that will create itself over and over and over again. And only God can do something like that. I mean, just think of all the inventions that we have right now. I don't know, man. Ain't nobody created something that created something. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a bad illustration, but, you know, you got the iPhone. The iPhone never made another iPhone. You know what I mean? It's like a computer never made another computer. A building never made another building. And we talk about all these accomplishments of man, but they are nothing compared to God in the fullness of his creation. He creates something that actually will in itself create once again, and it will continue on. God is multi-generational. He expects that creation, he expects that we will keep on creating over and over and over again. And then you'll get a clue to how that happens. We'll get that into tomorrow a little bit. And so here's some of these things. Now, it begs the mention that when we get to verse 26, so he creates animals, he creates all these things, and then he gets to the really the best of creation in essence, and it creates men and women. Notice he doesn't just create man, he creates men and women. He says male and female, he created them. And so it's important to realize that, and he compared to everything else, right? You don't hear this written anywhere else, but he says, he blessed them. He blessed them. There's something very unique about men and women. This is why, honestly, I love animals, okay? You know, I had a few dogs growing up, and, you know, we had a few pets and things like that, and things, but animals do not hold a candle to human beings. I have a real difficult time with people that treat their animals better than they treat human beings. I mean, there are reports, and I know a lot of this is in the United States, but people kill people that mistreat animals. Now, you should not mistreat animals, okay? That's not the point of this thing. But you got to understand the crown of creation is men and women. And it's like a whole nother league. They're not even in the same ballpark. And yet we find a lot of times that we kind of miss this order in a lot of ways, right? That we treat the created things as sometimes more important than we treat people. But, I mean, at the end of the day, isn't this really what sin really is about, right? That we treat other things better than it should be treated. And the one thing that he says, now, creation, he says, first of all, creation is, he says, is good. But in terms of the creation of men and women, he says he blesses them. He gives them the ability to praise, all these things that happen. And then this is the word that's given. So not everyone has an assignment, but these guys get an assignment. And their assignment is be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And so, you know, obviously, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. If you're planning to have kids, you should have a lot of kids. I mean, if you can, this is the word of God. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm not trying to, if you have like a couple of kids, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, okay, and things. But, you know, the whole point of this idea, he says it's the word multiplication. And so if you have two kids, that's not multiplication. That's addition, right? And so you're fruitful and you added. But he says be fruitful and multiply. And so it's important for us, and I'm not just saying this because we're having our fourth kid, okay? I said it when I had three kids and stuff, so it does, you know, I mean, fourth, I feel more legitimate now, to be honest. But at the same time, be fruitful and multiply. So I think it's important for us that we hold on to this mandate, you know, if we can, by all means. I know sometimes economically it's not possible, you know, a lot of other things happen, and so the best that we can. And what is our job? Our job is to fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish, the birds, every living thing that moves on the earth. And he says, I've given you every plant, and we're supposed to be the caretakers of these things. It's amazing to me how I'm sorry, I'm speaking more of an American context, but it's amazing to me how politicians who claim themselves to be Christians really have no regard for the world around us. I'm not a tree hugger, right? I don't associate myself with Al Gore, you know, or all those kind of things. I think climate change, I think it's way overblown. I'm just honestly speaking. But at the same time, God gives us a responsibility to care for this earth. And so I think it's important that we do the best that we can to care for this earth, because this earth was given to us that was meant to last us generationally. I think it's sad to note that there's a time that's coming very soon, in the sense that we may not be able to leave a better world for our kids than the world that we experienced. And I think that's primarily our fault, in the sense that we did not take care of this world like we should have. And so, all right, now let's get to the devotional part, okay? Now, I want you to see something which is actually pretty deep into our lives. Notice in the created order of things, notice what happens here. God says, and then he creates. Okay? The first thing that God does, he pronounces. God says it. And so if you look, go through this whole creation, he says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then creation happened. God saw the light was good, continues on. And then verse 6, God said, let there be expanse. And then verse 7, God made the expanse. Let me see, verse 9, God said, and then in 10, God called, and continue on. God said, verse 11, and then the earth sprouted. Verse 14, God said, and we see verse 20, God said, and so we see this theme all throughout of the passages that the first thing God does, God says it, and then he does it. God says something, and then he creates something. God says something, and then something comes into action. And this is not just a Genesis thing. This is actually something that is woven all throughout the scriptures. It tells us in the Old Testament that before God does anything, that he goes and tells the prophets first. So God says, and then he does. And let me give you a passage. Go to Luke chapter 1. I really like this passage. And now I'm reading it actually in a very different way now. In Luke chapter 1, it's the foretelling of Jesus' birth. And so what does God do? God says it first. God announces to Mary through the angel, and then God does. It's an amazing sequence that happens. God always says something, and then he does it afterwards. Sometimes it's simultaneous. Sometimes it happens much, much later on. But that's still the pattern. God says something, and then he does something. And so in the end of towards the end of chapter 1, verse 37, it says here, for nothing will be impossible with God. You know that this translation of this is really the word, the Greek word, rhema, which is the spoken word of God. And so the translation of this is, no spoken word of God shall be without ability. Now, for a long time, I associated God's speaking with God's power, that they're connected. And I still do feel like that. But now, after reading Genesis 1, I'm even more convinced that it means something a little different. In more the sense that in this context, this is just the order of life, order of creation. It's not so much that, of course, God's power is given when the speaking, but the reality is God always speaks first. God always says something first, and then he does something afterwards. Now, I think this is important for a lot of us that are fasting right now, because a lot of us are fasting basically things that we heard from God, that God, you said this, and now there hasn't been the manifestation of the doing yet, but we are convinced that God, you said it, and we recognize it's not just our own our own flesh that's caught up in this. We believe this is in the Word of God. We believe that God has spoken these things over our lives. And so, I guess my devotion today is, man, this is really good, right? This is like the order. Some of you guys, us, would want the working first, but that's not how God works. God says it, and then he does it. God talks, God speaks, God announces, God pronounces, and then the working of it happens afterwards. And we are living in that tension in a lot of ways of God speaking and the working of it coming about. And I guess all I want to say this morning as we start our fast and whatnot is in the waiting, in between the moment of God saying and God doing, is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Trust God. God says it, and then he does it. Right? And so this is just this, you know, the Bible talks about God as a God of order. This is order. And so God says it. So God is speaking to you. God is going to do it. The timing of it, I don't know. Are we involved in it? I think so, in some part. I think we are involved in the timing in some way. But God says it, and then God does it. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. So God said, what has God spoken into your life? This is the whole idea of hearing God's voice. That's why it's so important. I mean, yeah, hearing God through scripture and, you know, through all different ways. But it's why it's so important, because this is how the universe works. This is how God has ordained this whole universe to work in this way. God speaks, and then God does. And so maybe it would give us a little help to go back and make sure, first of all, that God has spoken. That what you're hearing from God is accurate in that regard. And then the next part, if you come back and say, yeah, okay, this is truly the word of the Lord. Yeah, God wants my dad to be saved. Yeah, God wants my uncle to be healed. And once you come to that place, then you pray. Not passively, but actively pray. You seek God's face until the answer comes. All right, but this is not a mystery that is woven in. This goes all the way back from Genesis 1. God speaks, and then he does. God's voice comes first, and then the action follows. And sometimes it's simultaneous. Sometimes it takes time. As we just sing a song of worship, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning as we start. What are those things in our lives right now that we're kind of waiting on God for? Or most of the job's already done in the sense that God's spoken. Now, with that verse we read, no spoken word of God should be without ability, that means when God is speaking, that he is working. It goes hand in hand. Now, the fruition of that coming here to earth, in other words, his will established in heaven, coming to earth, I mean, that in many ways has to do with our obedience, with spiritual warfare, with partnership, with trust, with faith. There's so many elements that are caught up in that now, from the working, God's working, to the receiving here on earth. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you, especially as we talk about things that we're fasting right now. Be faithful to the Lord. take a moment and let's pray this morning. Let's pray over those things that God has spoken to you about that maybe has not quite come into fruition. God's working. Now let's first settle our mind on that. God is working. He is active behind the scenes. And now let's walk in faith, obedience, discipline, trust. Let's do warfare, whatever it takes to bring the fruition of those things, the will of heaven down to earth. And so I want to encourage you to just spend a moment, and it could very well be the things that you're fasting for right now. And let's just present it to the Lord in faith. Let's pray. Go to our community focus and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling disease. Let's pray for God's healing word upon their lives. For our friends that are ill, but also that need to know Jesus. Let's pray for the Lord to reveal Himself to them in a real powerful way that they would trust Christ with their life. Let's pray for their healing and for them to come to Christ. Let's pray for other friends that are having battling illnesses, but not cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing. pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and connection in their life. Let's pray for them. Pray for our mission focus today. Let's pray for North Korea. Pray for Chris, the community. Pray for South Korea as well, for the churches there. And pray for a future church plan in years to come. Pray for Japan, Pastor Mitsunobu and his church in Kobe. And let's just ask God to really breathe his life through these three countries. And as we just pray for our North Asia, let's pray. Pray for IP, the Well in Cascade. Pray for the leaders and our volunteers and really our prayer warriors that really take it out on their front lines and put themselves in harm's way for us as they pray. And so lift up all the leaders, Matt, Ricky, and Rachel. Let's pray for all the leaders as well that volunteer in these ministries, that God would use them, equip them, protect them, provide for them. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and the barista. Let's pray for God's hand and all the volunteers and that truly SP would be a very welcoming, a loving place, especially for our guests that come. Let's just pray for these ministries. Let's pray for the Korean church. Pray for Pastor Choi for spiritual growth and unity. I think the theme for the church this year is a righteous and devoted Christian. So let's pray for God to really draw this church closer to Him in that way. They'd be righteous and devoted. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP Lights. Let's pray for God's hand upon them as they go out tonight to outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and divine appointments and just the hearts of amas and ladies and even the guys will be opened up to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's go to member prayer focus. Let's pray for Natalie Wong. Pray for directions regarding career paths this year. Pray for her parents' salvation and her health. Pray that she would learn to love with God's love to friends, family, co-workers, and strangers. Let's pray for Natalie. Pray for Kenny Ye. Pray for health for herself and future wife and kids. Pray for God's favor and business in China and Shanghai. Pray for her mother and two sisters to be saved, and God will continue to reveal to him how much that he loves him. Let's pray for Kenny. Slide. Let's pray for Manhwa. Yep. Let's pray to spend more time with God and to get to know him more this year. Let's pray. Pray. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for your creation, God, and just the way, Lord, that you want things to last, God, that you want it to go multi-generational, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and help us also to have that same mindset, God, that whatever we do, Lord, God, let it last in just our one generation, Lord. God, we thank you for your working in our lives. We thank you for your speaking and then your doing, God. And whenever there seems to be a lag in that doing, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us to wait and have faith, God, and to be actively pursuing you, God, in that process. And so I pray for that, God, especially as we fast this year. Lord, be with us. Keep us strong and warm, Lord, as we enter our first few days, and which for many of us is the toughest. We pray for perseverance and strength, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and enjoy the time of your fast. If you want to send off a prayer request, you can send it to bonnie.chung@solomonsporchhk.com and we'll make sure that we get it up here during the time. Okay? Bless you guys.